Making sure you get justice is a big deal in the world's value system. That's why so many people file lawsuits. When Christians absorb the world's values, they file lawsuits along with everybody else. The Bible tells us that such actions defame the cause of Christ. Today, a call for believers to act like believers, people who let God be their final bar of justice. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on Christians in the courtroom and what the Apostle Paul thought of it.
He says it really shows that you've absorbed the values of the world if you go to court in these civil cases with another Christian. Because after all, these cases are trivial in comparison to the ones that we are going to judge. They're trivial. That's what Paul says. You say, oh, what do you mean, $100,000? Trivial? What do you mean the guy came in here recommended by the church of all things? We should sue the church because he didn't do a good job. Paul says, hey, these cases are trivial. You say, oh, trivial. I think about them night and day. Paul says, wait a moment. You're talking like an unbeliever. Do you not know that we are going to judge the world? This is what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to read it directly because if I don't, some of you are going to say he's making it up. Jesus said this, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over all the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. Jesus said, I'm going to rule over the world, and you're going to be ruling there over the world with me, and I'm going to give you assignments that have to do with authority and judication. That's big stuff. Paul says, you're going to rule over the world. Jesus said also in the book of Revelation, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat on my Father's throne. Jesus said, you are going to sit on the throne with me in the coming kingdom, judging the world, judging angels, could refer to fallen angels. We may have a hand in judging the devil and his demons. If the text is referring to good angels, the holy angels, then of course we won't judge them in that sense, but we will rule over them, which is another way to interpret that word judge. But either way, what Paul is saying is there's an eternity out there with huge eternal issues. In comparison, your petty differences, you were cheated out of money, is trivial. It's trivial. You want the whole world to stop on its axis because somebody did something to you that was hurtful and wrong, and you want justice, and you want it now. Paul says, wait a moment. You're talking like the people of the world who want justice now because they don't believe that another world is coming. So the second reason is you've accepted worldly values. Thirdly, you show your lack of submission to church authority. Paul says, are there not wise people in your church who are willing to arbitrate? Can't you be submissive? If there are two brothers and they're in the same church, couldn't you take this to an elder or a wise person in the church who'd be able to arbitrate between the two of you, and then you would accept the verdict? People say, oh no, I wouldn't accept the verdict because I don't know. I don't know. What if he came down on the wrong side? And of course, if he does come down on the wrong side, what you can do is, you know, you can leave the church and you can go next door because I don't like what the elders did and I can't accept their authority and so I'm out of here. There's some other church that will accept me. And yes, there is another church that will accept you. You can always find somewhere else to go to church and not use what has happened in your life and your submission for the glory of God. You can escape what God wants to do in your life. And sometimes elders and sometimes people in the church are not infallible. They aren't infallible. Sometimes they make mistakes, but people who are under subjection say, despite the mistake, all accept their wisdom and trust God through it. So what he said is, you show a lack of submission. He says, you accept defeat and not blessing. Notice in verse 7, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. What Paul is saying is, for openers, the very fact that somebody in the church does something wrong to you and then will not make it right, that in itself is a defeat. But then that the person takes you to court, the person whom you have wronged, he is becoming a part of that defeat. He is submitting to the worldly system regarding the resolution of a conflict. And he's doing it in the wrong way. A Christian attorney said that in all the cases that he has seen, when a Christian goes to court with another Christian, then he does not receive blessing even if he wins the case. So you win the case, okay? You do. But at what cost and at what expense? Suffering wrong, as we shall see in a moment, is highly prized by the Apostle Paul and highly prized by Jesus. Would you not rather suffer wrong? In taking a brother to court, you participate in his guilt, assuming that he is guilty. Now, I need to talk with you very, very practically about some matters. First of all, if you are taken to court, if you are sued, you certainly have a responsibility and a right to protect yourself. The Apostle Paul, when he was in difficulty, he appealed to his Roman citizenship. So if someone serves you papers, you have really little option except to respond. In fact, attorneys tell you, don't talk to the person who is suing you. And so they cut off brother from brother and sister from sister, and they simply tell you now, no talking, no phone calls, no cards, nothing until this is resolved. And because you're a part of a legal system now, you have to go along with that, and you have to defend yourself. Also, I need to say that I do believe that Paul here is talking about civil cases. If you, as a woman, are married to a man and you discover that he's a pedophile and is dangerous with your children, whatever you do, don't say, well, we're just going to let it happen and suffer wrong. You have a responsibility to yourself. You have a responsibility to your children. You have a responsibility now in those matters of criminal activity where the state has an interest. And so in no way are we simply saying that you always need to accept what is happening and suffering wrong. Paul is talking about grievances that have to do with money and property issues and those kinds of dealings among people. Also, if you are married to someone like that, he should really be regarded as an unbeliever. It's part of the responsibility of the church. Next message in the series is on reconciliation. And I'll explain that more clearly, that you get to a certain point in a person's life where his behavior, regardless of what he says, needs to be interpreted by fallible human beings as him being one who is not a believer. In which case, it would seem to me, the Apostle Paul's warnings and admonition does not directly apply if indeed such a person is an unbeliever. And thankfully, there are today Christian arbitration organizations. There are those who say that what we will do is we'll provide an attorney, maybe a pastor along with the attorney, And there's such a thing as binding arbitration, where two Christians who can't resolve a dispute come together, and after they've come together, the case is heard and a decision is made, and in advance both parties agree that they will accept whatever decision has been made. This surely, surely is a much better way. And of course the legal fees are minimal in comparison to all of the legal fees and the meandering that goes on within our judicial system. So we do need wisdom in the application of this text, but I need to emphasize that Paul is saying that it is better for you to suffer wrong and to be defrauded. That's the last reason why he gives, why Christians should not take other Christians to court. You avoid the privilege of suffering. Now I can imagine I'm speaking to somebody who says, I can't believe what I'm hearing. The privilege of suffering. I've suffered, and I don't consider myself blessed or privileged. Actually, the whole series of messages that I've preached in this series is entitled Suffering Wrong. Someone who saw the series title said, you can't be preaching that because nobody is willing to suffer wrong today. And I said, well, you never know. I'm preaching to a group of Christians. There may be those who are willing to suffer wrong. Sometimes we have no choice. Let me give you three reasons why biblically suffering wrong would be considered to be a great privilege. First of all, because you identify with Jesus. You identify with Jesus, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he uttered no threats, but kept committing himself to the Father who judges righteously. This is Pastor Luther. Yes, my friend, Jesus is our example of suffering wrong, isn't he? And as a result of that suffering, you and I were redeemed. Sometimes here in America especially, I think it's so difficult for us to understand the value of suffering because obviously we all want to avoid it in whatever way we possibly can. But at the same time, God sometimes does a deep work in our hearts. When we are willing to suffer wrong and thus be identified with Jesus Christ. Today I'm talking to somebody who has experienced injustice. There are people out there who have done bad things to you. And of course I'm also talking to the people who have done the bad things because they may not even know the extent to which they have hurt others. Can all of us today, in an act of faith, say, Lord, we do turn this over to you. And we expect you, Lord, to pour grace into our souls so that we can get on with the business of being sanctified and being prepared for heaven because of your grace and your mercy, even in the midst of unjust suffering.
Erwin Lutzer with part two of Christians in the Courtroom, message number 6 in an 8-part series on When You've Been Wronged. Tomorrow, more on the privilege of suffering wrong. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.